listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns backers worldwide. It's free to join, the biggest organized fan club in all of sports. It includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit BrownsBackers.org. Vic Carucci, Nathan Nate Dogg Zagura, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, and we're doing grading of last year's team position by position. We've been talking about the defensive line. We covered the starters in this group. And, Nathan, if there was one position on this team where depth was not a problem, it would be this group. In fact, all of the collapsing and problems with this defense, I dare say, had very little to do with the play of the D-line.
I would agree with you, and we'll take a look at that depth right now. And we'll start with a guy who I thought played very, very well, fourth on the team in snaps at defense on the defensive line, and that was John Hughes. John Hughes, by according to Pro Football Focus, was our highest graded defensive lineman. He was very effective both against the run and against the pass. I thought had a very, very good season, did John Hughes. 11th ranked against the run in terms of his run stop percentage. That's always very good. And then, to me, just a guy who came in, third-round pick in 2012, was able to get to the quarterback a little bit, 12 hurries, 13 total pressures, one sack on the season. I just thought he played well. I thought he stepped up when this team needed him to, filled in very, very nicely, and played it at what I would call a very high level. Never played a full game, always kind of a situational, a rotational player, but was able to make the most of his opportunities. Graded out positively pretty much every week of the season. I thought John Hughes very solid. I'm going to give him a B+ given his role, and I thought he did a good job for this team.
Yeah, I thought Billy Winn, who unfortunately missed some time with injury, when he was in there, played very well for the times that he was in there. And John Hughes came up big as not only a guy that could be moved inside when need be, but also setting that edge. A steady, quiet performer. I thought a solid B for his efforts. And when you're giving a B to a backup guy, it's telling you something that at a moment's notice, which is what these guys are, they're the next man up. That's the concept. They filled in and did it well. And I will go to Billy Winn and say, I would even say B+ there because of his athleticism, his range, his ability to help you in other places. I know this is getting overused now, the Swiss Army knife description of players who can do more than one thing. And I know they didn't really have much in the way of success when they put him in at fullback, and a lot of people were kind of looking for that. But watching him on the practice field, what he can do, what when he was practicing those situations, and when you saw him kind of move around in that role, for a big man, he can move. Again, unfortunately, his body got worn down, had those injuries that he dealt with. But Billy Winn, every game, including the last game of the 2013 season, always did something to get me noticed. So I look at that duo, and again, and Billy, I think I'll even give a little better than that. I'll say he's like a B+ player.
Yeah, I'll give Billy Winn a B+ as well. If you were to look at the run stop percentage among 3-4 defensive ends, only J.J. Watt was better than Billy Winn last year. Filled in very well. He has to be a great clubhouse guy as well. Such a likable guy. Very funny. Very entertaining. I enjoyed the times when we had him on our show. I enjoyed the times when we got to talk to him in the locker room off air as well. Billy Winn, again, this is a position of strength and depth for this team. Billy Winn, a big part of that. I will give him a B+ as well. And then finally, as we look at Armonte Bryant, 7th round pick this year, 2 sacks, 3 hits, 7 hurries on the season in limited snaps, I thought ended up actually doing a pretty darn good job. And to get a guy in the 7th round who showed the ability to get to the quarterback, be around the quarterback, make some plays, I was very impressed by that, what we saw ultimately this season from him. I thought that Armonte Bryant did a pretty darn good job for a 7th rounder coming in his rookie season, and is somebody who I think could develop into a good asset for this team. So I'm going to give him a B as well on this defensive line.
Yeah, I actually thought Armani Bryant even a little better than that. I'm going to give him a B+. Seventh round draft pick, troubled off-field past in college and leading up to the time that the Browns brought him aboard. And I worried. I said, okay, they took a character risk here, and it might blow up, even though as a seventh round pick, the risk is mitigated by his low choice. But nonetheless, you've brought him into the organization. It was met with some skepticism. He faced very hard questions when he was brought aboard. And I had an opportunity to kind of talk with him before a lot of those moments and just to give him a sense of what he was going to be in for and what to expect during those off-season workout moments that he had the opportunity to talk with reporters. And he handled himself exceptionally well then and even better on the field. He's a guy who still needs to get a little bit bigger, and that'll happen in the course of just getting NFL-style strength and conditioning training. But I thought on his natural ability and just being someone who could make plays and was around the football and who had good football instincts, good football temperament. What's that mean? You love the game. You're engaged with what's going on
high
with
motor.
The game. You're high motor. You're tough. It goes without saying that you're a relentless force because you love football so much that you love everything that goes with it, including the ability to overcome the punishment that goes with it. And you don't let it get you. You don't let it get you down. High motor, just what you said.
A very pleasant surprise. Well. And as we look at it now, we got six guys with B's or above on this defensive line.
Ishmael Backups,
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Also, I would give him kind of in that B-minus B range as another depth guy in the interior of the line. This is a position of strength for this team, and I believe if they do move to kind of a hybrid front, I know that they would if Mike Pettine becomes the head coach, if Dan Quinn becomes the head coach,
right.
That's kind of the direction it would go. I think this defensive line and the versatility that it could bring would be a tremendous asset.
Without a doubt, and let's talk about Ishmael Kitchen, because the Kitchen brought it. He brought the meals, and they were good ones. I mean, he in place of Phil Taylor, was a force in the middle. I thought did a little more. I see physically he is closer to the prototype of what you want to see from a defensive tackle.
A
Mahonker, the true Mahonker. Thank you. This is the appropriate use of Mahonker right here.
That's right.
And Ishmael did that again in his own sort of quiet way, but steady way, strong, persistent player, a solid B for Ishmael Kitchen to never. Here's the thing. We talked about playing in waves, right? The whole goal of this defensive front was attack in waves, have fresh legs and fresh bodies on the field. That's what Ray Horton preached. That's what you heard from Rob Chudzinski. That was the whole philosophy. And you just said it, Nathan. The next coach of this team, the next coordinator of this defense, has to utilize all these assets pretty similarly, actually. Whether it's a 4-3 or 3-4 is less important than having those fresh legs, having the depth to do it and to be strong there. The problems with this defense, and I don't want to get ahead of where we'll go next as our days move on with this grading, are on the back end. They couldn't cover anybody. That's
right.
Really what did this defense in, but it wasn't the fault of the front, or primarily the line of the front itself. You could put the line and across the
absolutely,
board.
Absolutely, because when you don't get off the field in the National Football League, and the struggles on third down, well documented. Obviously, the front needs to get there and get the sacks, but the way that this was structured, that was going to come from the outside linebackers who, in many cases, didn't get it done when it needed to, and then it comes down to covering on the back end and getting people off the field in passing situations, and the Browns did not do that. Mm-hmm. When we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we will get into the Friday forecast. That's coming up next.